It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Yes, indeed. Here we are off and running on this, the 22nd day of April 2020, the time of the plague. Hi, I'm Bob. We have reached midweek. It is ever so much more than just the middle of the week, though. It's prayer meeting Wednesday here on the Horn. The Fellowship Hall, of course, is empty, as is the Cathedral of Common Sense, because unlike a certain preacher in Louisiana, we're not interested in trying to spread the Rona roundabout. But the little old blue-haired ladies in the Fellowship Hall kitchen are not neglecting their duties. They went into the walk-in today, came out with several bags of frozen chicken breast, thawed them out, marinated them in some speedy sauce, that wonderful, wonderful marinade from the greater Binghamton, New York area. And set about the task of marinating them. Little old blue-haired men went out and grilled them, sliced them, chopped them, diced them, smothered them in sautéed bell peppers and onions and mushrooms, covered them in cheese, slapped on a little mayo just for flavor, and to piss Tracy off, and went about delivering. Chicken cheese steaks roundabout for folks who couldn't make it to Fellowship Hall supper this year, prayer meeting Wednesday. But thanks to the miracle of the internet, we do have we have the ability to carry on with the usual services to a certain extent, at least. I mean, no deacons passing plates or anything today. By the time we get back to regular order, the deacons may be svelte and hale and downright rail thin, because they haven't been able to do the damage that they usually do down in the Fellowship Hall kitchen, in the Fellowship Hall. That's a big, mighty fine walk-in we've got in the Cathedral's Fellowship Hall kitchen. It's institutional in nature. It's huge. We got a big old huge glass fronted refrigerator too. And well, don't tell the assholes over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda about it, or they'll have a hissy on air, just like they had a hissy about Nancy Pelosi's refrigerator. She's got a millionaire refrigerator. Then, of course, being Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, a photo showed up on social media noting that Steve Ducey also has a millionaire refrigerator. And by millionaire refrigerator, what they meant was it's one of those chrome steel framed refrigerators with a glass window in it, so you can see everything. That's a millionaire refrigerator. And they tried to get the rubes, viewers, all worked up about how awful Nancy Pelosi is, because she's got a refrigerator with a window in it. Mm-hmm. But then, like I said, it turns out that Steve Ducey has one too. Well, that's obviously different. isn't it? No, no, not really. This being the 22nd day of April is a special day. And not much we can do about it, but it's a very happy day for me, for it is my beloved wife Agnes's birthday. Happy birthday, dear. She's with the grandkids right now, and trying to help out because, keeping up with grandkids and schoolwork and housework and all of that's almost more than one young'un can stand. So she's birthdaying with the grandbabies. Happy birthday. Many, oh so many happy returns, my darling. Every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. Thanks go out for our 22nd day of the month subscribers at PayPal. That would be thanks to Bill in Florida. Thanks to Tarani. And thanks to Felicia, formerly of Nebraska and now of California. And I'll bet Felicia's really, really happy about that. Being how Nebraska is one of those states that has a maggot governor and California has a competent governor. There's a great big damn difference between the two, no doubt about it. But thank you. Thank you, one and all. If anyone would, and we've had several fall offs on the subscriber list over the course of the month, and it's more than understandable. But if you would, if you'd like to be a subscriber, run over to headon.live. The whole thing's right there on the main page. You can just check the little box, click it, and forget it, and be a partial sponsor of this ongoing conversation. 16 years in the making. Thank you for the happy birthday remarks in the chat room. If you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room, during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time and 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Time and all times in between and on either side, run on over to headon.live and click on chat room. If you've never done it before, pick yourself out a screen name and a password. It's all free. Nothing's ever for sale or anything. We don't sell stuff around here. And jump right in, and you'll be immediately greeted by the likes of Anatole and House of Roberts and Otto and Squeaky. They're all just itching to see you. You'll probably have a darn good time. Okay? Okay. And just a little funny to get us started because, the universe is an ironic place insofar as irony is someday some physicist will discover that irony is a far, far greater power than gravity or any of the other natural forces of the universe. How do I know this? Well, I know this, for instance, because I just got a press release from the Deputy Director of Regional Communications of the Republican National Committee. It was headlined, President Trump has taken decisive action to support hospitals on the front line of the coronavirus. The only decisive thing he's done lately is to try to, A, divert attention from his massive failures by threatening to shoot down flying Iranian boats, shoot down flying Iranian boats. The boats are flying now, at least that's what the spirochetes keep telling him as they flutter about in the thin gray settlings that slosh around between his ears and pass for brains.
I ordered the U.S. Navy to shoot down Iranian boats.
As I said earlier, I hope nobody tells him about the bats. The dumb bastard will see them soon enough, too, at this rate. But anyway, a decisive action to support hospitals on the front line of the coronavirus. That's why that decisive action, I guess that's why the mayor of a couple of towns in Georgia are giving sheer unmitigated hell to Brian Kemp, the incompetent former Secretary of State who purged hundreds of thousands of names from the voter rolls and in a racist attempt to make sure that he became governor of Georgia and thereby stole the election from Stacey Abrams. Yeah, decisive action. But that's not the ironic part. No. The ironic part of all of this is the name of the Deputy Director of Regional Communications of the Republican National Committee. Now, she is a diehard follower, a servile lickspittle to a man credibly accused of rape by no less than 20 different women, some of whom have receipts or DNA. Yeah, a servile bootlick to a man who confesses that he just spontaneously kisses women and grabs them by their genitals. So this Deputy Director of Regional Communications of the Republican National Committee naturally is named Christiana Purves. No, really? Didn't make this up. This is not a bit. Her name is Christiana Purves, as in pervert. As in, hey, wait a minute. What's Donald doing to his he's perving all over Iwanka. Christiana Purves. Thank you, Goddess of Irony. Thank you, sweet, good, and gentle Goddess of Irony. Sometime about midnight, and the supply is running low, because how it's hard to get things across the Pacific right now. Supply is running low, but I will sacrifice one of my few remaining rubber chickens to you at midnight tonight, just in gratitude for making me and us aware that the Deputy Director of Regional Communications for the Republican National Committee is Christiana Purves. Mighty are the powers of the Goddess of Irony. Mm-hmm. And so we do have prayer meeting Wednesday stuff, and we'll get to it. But let's see, early notes coming in. David in South Carolina Stan says, I got ice cream in my freezer for my grandkids. I guess that makes me an elitist, though my freezer does not have a window. It's just a regular old freezer. That's a millionaire freezer. Don't let Fox News find out about it, David. And, well, hell, says Ron in Raleigh, those windowed reefers start at a paltry $4,500. By the way, today is the start of the festival of our favorite Hindu deity, Ganesh, our peanut-loving pal. Happy festival, Ganesh. You seem like a decent sort of deity. Gotta kind of like any deity whose avatar is a heffalump. Mm-hmm. Now, woke up this, you know, I start show prep about the same time that the program ends every night for the coming day. Sometimes, as you know, I have things laid out and then everything changes. Well, the big deal for today happened fairly early this morning. And we're going to deal with that before we do any prayer meeting Wednesday stuff. The text for this evening's lesson comes from the San Francisco Chronicle. The reporters on it are Aaron Alday and Matt Kawahara. And the headline really does say it all, but there's a bit more to add, so it's not all. First known U.S. coronavirus death occurred on February 6th in Santa Clara County. Why does that matter? Because February 6th, we didn't think we had a COVID-19 death at that point in time. But now we know we did. This individual died at home. And as a result of an autopsy that was performed on the body and a test that was run on samples that were sent to the CDC in Atlanta, we have since learned that the individual had the coronavirus in their system. We don't know the identity of the person. Don't know gender. But we know that this person passed away at home and was infected. Now, down in the body of the story appears the following statement. A quote from an individual who said, from what we understand, neither of the cases, because there was the sixth and then there was another one a week or so later, from what we understand, neither of the cases had a history of travel, so we assume they were acquired, the virus, that is, locally. That is what is commonly referred to in this era of plague as community spread, where you get it just by being alive in your community. One day you're okay, and the next day, well, you're not. February 6th. The article goes on to say, people typically die of COVID-19 about a month after they're infected with the coronavirus, suggesting that the person who died February 6th likely was infected in early January. Now, I want to be really methodical with this and go through it with a certain degree of thoroughness, because early January, we thought it wasn't even here yet. But if early January is the acquisition date on a case that is deemed to be from community spread, that's shocking? No. Stunning? Not anymore. Sad? Yes. Damning, absolutely. So January 6th is way before Corona Caligula made any mention of, you know, they were saying, don't do it. Nancy Pelosi was trying to have a street party in Chinatown, and I shut down travel from China. As previously noted, that shutdown was rather like a Swiss cheese that's more whole than cheese. So his shutdown, which still allowed people to go back and forth across the Pacific from China to the U.S. and as well back and forth from Europe, various destinations in Europe to the U.S., the shutdown was as useless as nipples on a guy. worse than useless. Might have actually created some sense of security where there was no security. Again, let's be really methodical about this. If the person acquired the disease on January the 6th from community spread, that meant that it had to have been spreading in the community before the end of 2019? Because it doesn't just poof, you know, pop up like mushrooms after a spring rain. So now, suddenly, we're in December. And now, what we've been talking about for a couple of weeks begins to come into sharper and sharper focus. We have to go back a couple of weeks. It was a Moran Monday. I ran the clip from George Snuffleupagus, talked about it at length. He had Mike Esper, the defense secretary, on. He was looking down at a piece of paper. He wasn't looking at the teleprompter. And George Stephanopoulos asked Mike Esper, so were you guys briefed by, and I can't remember the name of the, but it's the Medical Intelligence Unit of the Defense Intelligence Agency. Were you guys briefed by them in late November about a disease outbreak in China? To which Mike Esper, the defense secretary, responded, shucks, oh, no, nothing about that. I can't remember. I done forget it. Which was anything but a ringing denial. So a couple of days later, ABC News came out with a story that George Stephanopoulos was referring to, and it had considerable more detail in it. And it indicated that, yes, the White House was briefed by the DIA's medical unit on in what was termed late November. But language further into the article indicated it had to be that it was before Thanksgiving, because there was reference to things that were done after Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving was November the 28th. Late November would be anywhere from the 16th to the 27th, if we understand the parameters being laid out in that article. It was a Saturday, the 19th of November, when out of the clear blue nowhere, suddenly they hustled Nitwit Nero into a limousine and convoyed him to Walter Reed Army Medical Center. Prior to November the 19th, October 31st or so, he filed papers saying he wasn't no New Yorker no more, that he was going to henceforth be Florida man. At some point, shortly thereafter, a pathetic attempt at a denial was made by the maggot regime. It certainly didn't convince me. When a gang of liars tells you, "Oh no, we didn't know nothing about nowhere," no, and as if we did, we was only following orders. When liars tell you that, you can assume that that is a lie too. And in fairly short order, we found out that it was, because Israel Channel 12 and the Times of Israel reported that the Israeli Defense Forces had been briefed by United States intel the same way that they briefed the White House at roughly the same time, that intel sharing. Remember when Geezer Disgustus was outing Israeli intelligence fairly early in his maladministration, and we wondered if anybody would ever trust us again. Well, I guess we're trying to hold up our end of the bargain, because we hipped the Israelis to it. The Israelis are upset by the story because the psycho, Bibi Netanyahu, didn't take the warning particularly seriously either. Nothing has leaked from the Congress. Nothing has leaked from any Democratic senator or representative's offices. I think we can only assume that they were left out of the loop. But with a couple of minor exceptions of people who, well, you know, this person doesn't really regularly have contact with the president or the vice president, people who tested positive. All these people who stand around pissing all over the idea of social distancing, none of them are sick. Not a one. And so if you take all that and you combine it with the idea that at least in Santa Clara County, there was community spread on or before the new year, then suddenly you've got a much broader picture of a significantly more virulent process. And in the midst of all of this, we still have no idea how bad it is. The Confederacy continues to do everything in its power not to test, not to find out, the functional equivalent of sticking one's fingers in one's ears and saying, la, 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 can't hear you. La, 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 can't hear you. And now we know open attempts to get people killed in places like Georgia and Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, South Carolina will all follow suit because they've signed a pact. You know, just like them states up there, your Pennsylvania and your New Jersey and your Delaware and your Maryland and your Massachusetts and Connecticut and all of that, just like they banded together to plan for the future. Well, the southern states done did that too. Yeah, they banded together. Unlike those other groups, the Midwestern groups and the Northeast group and the West Coast group, the southern group has a real cool name for their group. They're calling it a Confederacy. No, I'm making that part up, but it's not lost on me that the Confederacy is reconstituting for purposes of getting its own people killed, which, of course, is what the original Confederacy was put together to do. The Civil War was lost before the first shot was ever fired, but that didn't stop the South, the Confederacy, from firing that shot and several more, and getting 400,000 Americans killed and 300,000 traitors who were not Americans at the time. But the idea that this thing was running around unchecked, if you cross-reference that with the models from like covidactnow.org, then you begin to see a picture, because they've got, you know, take action now, and here's what happens if you don't take action. Here's what happens with lax stay at home. Here's what happens with strict stay at home, that kind of stuff. Well, if this thing was running around America in the waning weeks, days and weeks of 2019, our infection rate is probably through the roof. Subject line, vaccinated. David in South Carolina, Stan, says, Trump plans to go on the road and visit first responders during the week of May 4th. He's had a vaccine. It's hard to it's hard to avoid reaching that conclusion. We know he wasn't given hydroxychloroquine because he's still alive. Further data coming out in the last 24 hours that the only thing hydroxychloroquine does in relation to the Trump pandemic is to make people die faster and more awfully. And they've been hustling and shilling and conning, trying to get people to take it and, I guess, you know, die. So what does that mean? And that's not a rhetorical question. What does that mean? If we had this thing running all over the country. Now, I posted all this. I posted a little piece on Facebook about it. And I got some damned interesting responses. People writing in from all over the country. Saying, late December, early January, mid-January, we were sick as a dog. High fever, hacking cough, couldn't get rid of it, didn't respond to any drugs. And again, those responses are coming in from people all over the country. I saw the same thing happen. One person, a dear old friend of mine, works for a company owned by the Chinese. They got, and his entire family got sick. Now, understand, I'm not calling out causation. Because association is not causation. It's kind of one of the first principles of epidemiology. But, Jesus. I think in the name of the dead, we need to know what they knew. We have a right to know what they knew and when they knew it. And all of this data keeps pushing the actual outbreak in China further and further and further back. This shit could have been ripping through China in August, September. We know how bad it eventually got, thanks to the reporting that made its way out of China. Now, this is a political question, but one worth asking. Would a cover-up of a deadly pandemic constitute sufficient evidence to support impeachment and removal from office? And whatever the numbers are from day to day, the reality we know now is probably much worse. During that time period, when we thought it wasn't here, And later on, Trump would go on to say,
well, there are like 15 cases, and soon there will be 5, and then 0. We're handling this very well.
No, we weren't. And it was probably spreading even then. You can't find what you don't look for. And we weren't looking for this. So who knows how many unautopsied flu deaths were this? Who knows how many unautopsied pneumonia deaths were actually attributable to this? How many heart attacks? How could they possibly have ever known? It's only through a little bit of foresight and some dumb luck that we know what we know. And one of the things we know, courtesy of the New York Times today, is that in the last month or so, there have been at least 28,000 people who died from the coronavirus, but whose demise has not been officially noted as being a COVID-19 death. The article states at least 28,000 more people have died during the coronavirus pandemic over the last month than the official COVID-19 death counts report. A review of mortality data in 11 countries shows, not just here, elsewhere, providing a clearer, if still incomplete, picture of the toll of the crisis. In the last month, far more people died in these countries than in previous years. And then there becomes the question of how to attribute these deaths. What if you needed treatment for a non-COVID disease, but you couldn't get treatment because the hospital was already overwhelmed and overloaded with COVID-19 patients? That's indirectly a COVID death. Our buddy Lottie up in Massachusetts, and stay safe, my friend. I look at Massachusetts every day, and it's terrifying up there. Stay home and stay safe, Bob. Been a friend for a long, long time. Lottie says you might want to add this to your list of people. You're right, Lottie says. There's mounting evidence that this virus may have entered the U.S. before the first case was detected. The amount of people with positive antibody results and no symptoms that are being identified at places like the Pine Street Inn suggests it. In addition, back in December, a few weeks before Christmas, I came down with a strange flu-type illness which kept me in bed off and on for almost 2 weeks. It didn't start off as a typical flu with sinus congestion, and it went right to the lungs. There was a burning sensation in my lungs, and I coughed up a lot of fluid, and I had a low-grade temperature. Every joint in my body hurt, and I was weak. This is the first time I've ever had those symptoms. At times, I thought it would kill me. I survived, but the recovery took longer than normal. I came across an article at the Washington Post regarding the coronavirus and blood clots that adds one more interesting aspect to this virus, blood clotting. That's not normal to these types of viruses, and usually viruses and bacteria cause hemorrhaging. One interesting note to this is that I'm on both aspirin and apixaban for atrial fib. Apixaban inhibits factor XA in the coagulation cascade. That is, it prevents prothrombin from being converted to thrombin, which is responsible for fibrin formation. Fibrin is what gels the blood into a clot. Anyone that's done PTs and PTTS in a lab has viewed this firsthand. I theorize that the apixaban and maybe the aspirin interfered with the clotting cascade, caused by the virus and thus may have increased my survivability. Keep an eye on this, and let's see what the scientists find out. Thank you, Bob. And remember, if this thing is moving around in China in September, which seems more and more likely, then all that time, commerce is taking place between here and there and there and here. I was writing earlier today, and I talked about the first time that I ever flew through the international airport in Detroit. Interesting airport, a lot of hiking, but to get from one concourse to another, you have to go through what I referred to, and I've talked about this before, the trippy tunnel. It's really weird. It's literally a tunnel with a sliding walkway, and it's escalator down, sliding walkway through, escalator back up, and there's a big red button on either end of the slidewalk to stop the lighting effects in the tunnel, because it's trippy, it's groovy, and the lights play almost like an aurora borealis, northern lights. And apparently, after they installed it, they figured out that it was inducing epileptic seizures in people prone to those things. So the button will stop all the magic lights. But eventually, on one end or the other of the trippy tunnel, you get out, and the nearer you get to the international concourse, well, it was just kind of strange, you know, being as how it was Merca. It was kind of strange to hear all the announcements announced both in English and Mandarin, because there were oodles of flights back and forth, nonstops, from Detroit to China. Many a day. And remember, in late 2019, or the second half of 2019, we were bombarded daily with pronouncements from COVID Caligula
about how this is the best economy the world has ever seen. Anybody, anywhere. I'm an economic genius. I made this happen. This is all attributable to me. Yay me.
And in the meantime, there was the trade war and so forth. But that travel continued. And it went all, and people went all over this country and all over China. And Wuhan is a city of some 9 to 11 million souls, I believe. Hubei, and that's just Wuhan. There's greater Hubei province. And so I don't see how we can take these people seriously anymore when they persist in saying, well, you know, it just got here a little bit ago. The death toll as we know it in the United States over the past 6 weeks has averaged roughly 7,500 deaths per week. You know, this is where we queue up Dr. Phil or Dr. Oz to say, well, we don't shut down the country when 7,500 people die in a week. Not quite 3,000 people died on September 11th, 2001. And it took the president of the United States, dim leader, telling America, now, I want you to go on now, get on down to Disney World. Go out to the mall. Fly around somewhere. We got airlines to save. This is worse than it appears. billable Rick with a note, says, my illness, December 30th to January 15th, or Bob, stop telling me whether to get a COVID-19 antibody test. Billable Rick says, I also got a weird sickness just around the new year. My first and only initial symptom was a dry cough for a couple of days, which then turned into a 101-degree fever on New Year's Eve. And for several nights thereafter, I also felt chest tightness, achy, and lethargic. And unlike me, I called in sick to work for the first few days of 2020. Normally, when I get sick, it goes to my throat, then my head, then my chest. This illness bypassed the throat and head and instead went straight to the chest. I got this illness from my girlfriend's son, who got it from his girlfriend, who worked at a high-end hotel resort called Monarch Beach Resort in Dana Point, California, which has many international visitors. I'm considering getting an antibody test in nearby Irvine, which I understand has only a 15-minute turnaround time. So, Bob, should I get a COVID-19 antibody test? I am not a doctor, and I don't play one on the radio. I think as a lawyer, your lawyering skills might be as effective in this analysis as any medical analysis, Rick. Or just plain old-fashioned garden variety logic. Because there's nothing, you cannot, this testing, as desperately as we need it, has proven to be something less than broad brush reliable. And the fact that people have tested negative, tested negative, tested negative, tested negative, tested negative, and then tested positive, and then negative, and then two positives and a negative. I mean, those cases are out there. And the antibodies are no guarantee that you won't get it again. That's the problem with using the antibody theory for getting the economy back to work. Add into all of this analysis this as well. It was weeks ago when I mentioned a news story that I had run across coming out of China that noted that the Chinese government had refused to count people who tested positive and yet were asymptomatic in the number of people who were sick. And so there is more than a reasonable reason, there's more than a reasonable doubt as to whether China ever actually genuinely knew what was going on. The urn shipments to Wuhan that make it look like perhaps it was more like 30,000 people dead in Wuhan instead of the paltry number that the glorious people's government let on. Brother Deacon Asa says, I had the exact same symptoms as Billable. It took me 3 months to get over the hacking and coughing. I just wrote it off as a routine flu. How many other people did the same, Brother Deacon? Because we had nothing else to base it on. I mean, like I said, I think back to I think back to when I was in Alabama. Oh, by the way, Billable Rick Jeremy has awarded you a cowbell for, as Jeremy puts it, sneakily sneaking in that stop Bob line. Yeah, what was the line again? Bob, stop telling me whether to get a COVID-19 antibody test. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. But, and I got to thinking about this, and I don't know how much, it's again, this is all just speculation. Not of the Alex Jones variety, mind you. I would like to have data. I would like to have evidence. Well, we're getting some data, and we're getting some evidence, and it's pointing us in directions that I think none of us want to be true. But I go back to my primary care physician who said, when I asked him about it, he said, oh, it's all, because we were talking about the fact that West Virginia was reporting no cases. He said, oh, it's already here. Come on. It's been here. The only reason we don't know is because we're not testing. We don't have any tests. So there's that. But I watched people in the cast of the little play that we did get miserably sick and stayed that way and never really got back to full speed. And this is just a few miles away from plants that are owned by Chinese firms and had personnel running around back and forth. It is damned well curious. And if it turns out that everything that I think is true is true, I think it should also be deemed criminal. You know, as in a crime against humanity. Because the official narrative simply does not make any sense. There's Lady B. January illness. Got sick in mid-January, coughing and shortness of breath that only got worse. Went to ER. They gave me a breathing treatment, an inhaler, and antibiotics. Missed 3 days of work and took about 2 weeks to fully recover. Sounds crazy, but hell, I hope to hell that was it. My disabled sister had something similar, but she takes oxygen at night, so she got antibiotics and just stayed mostly in bed. So I don't know, man. I really don't. I wish to hell that I'm immune, but I'm going to continue to be obsessively careful anyway. That right there, Lady B, is critical. You have to continue to be careful because we do not know to any degree of certainty whatsoever that this confers immunity, that having had it confers immunity. We've got people who have had it twice based on their antibodies. Lee in New York says, "Stop it, Bob. Don't you know Trump will tell everyone that these people died for only to prevent the re-election of Donald John Trump, the greatest president in the existence of the universe in the last, past, or in the future? That's why people can't vote by mail. You fill out the ballot, then you go for your COVID-19 death to make Trump look bad." I wish that didn't make as much sense as it does, Lee. Note coming in from Mike in Cascadia. Next Strain put out a new report today on the U.S. outbreak. Check out the last bullet on the executive summary. The decisions made by each state profoundly impacts the fate of others. Safely easing restrictions in any state will require coordinated containment within all states acting to protect each other. Mike notes, "We are not basing our national approach on science. It's all based on Trump's politics for his reelection. All the pressures being placed on the Democratic governors. Democratic Governor Steve Bullock is opening Montana up next week, including casinos. My governor, Jay Inslee, won't act without robust testing and contact tracing in place. He's under increasing pressure to open up. One county on the east side of the state is opening up by the vote of their 3 Republican county commissioners, and they're backed up by Barr, who's saying he'll take legal action against blue state closures." Here's what the Next Strain report includes. "We analyzed 1,347 publicly shared SARS-CoV-2 genomes from the United States. By comparing these viral genomes to each other, we can characterize how SARS-CoV-2 is moving around the world and spreading locally. In this week's updates, we report the New York outbreak has cosmopolitan origins, but the majority of cases are attributable to introductions from Europe. The outbreak in New York City shows mixing of cases across all 5 boroughs. The outbreak in California is related to both nearby Washington State and distant New York. The Midwest outbreak is heterogeneous. and the decision made by each state profoundly impacts the fate of the others. Safely easing restrictions in any state will require coordinated containment, with all states acting to protect each other. And the states that do not act so to protect each other should be deemed to be in rebellion, and would under a responsible government. Instead, the states that are trying to behave responsibly will be the ones who are deemed to be in rebellion. As Attorney General Bill Pepe the Frog Barr has made clear, that if somebody sues, if someone sues the state government over the shutdown, that the Attorney General will state an interest and take the side of the plaintiffs against responsible states trying to keep their citizens safe and alive. This regime has been a criminal enterprise, but it's moving into the homicidal psychopathy portion of the program. Taking the long view of history, our buddy Ron in the far, frozen-ish north. I think it snowed the other day, didn't it, Ron? Ron says, I don't think the Civil War ever actually ended. After the initial 4 years of actual battle, the South retreated to fight an unconventional guerrilla war of attrition for 150 years. My question would be whether there are a sufficient number of rational people in the South to continue to isolate, and the COVIDiots, or the branch COVIDians, who would vote for Trump go off to mingle and brag about owning the libs and then die off so they can't vote for him in November. One can hope. Well, it's like I said, our only defense against these homicidal maniacs is staying safe and staying home. For what it's worth, Ron continues, Canada is running a COVID-19 case rate at about 40% of the standard comparison per capita rate we normally use in comparison to Freedom Land. That's Jesus Land. That's us. We're at about 41,000 cases and just over 2,000 attributable deaths. More than 50% of those deaths are in seniors' homes, jails, etc. The usual rates we could have expected would be around 90,000 cases and 4,500 deaths, and the government prepared for it. Generally speaking, our politeness and sense of space seems to have worked to our benefit, as well as the tendency on the part of the government to let the scientists and healthcare experts define what should be done. By and large, Canadians seem happy with the government response. And happy they should be, because the people are being taken care of. But that line that Ron just mentioned about letting the scientists and health experts define what should be done, well, we bade a fond farewell recently to Dr. Rick Bright. Now, Dr. Rick Bright didn't catch the Rona and die or anything, but Dr. Rick Bright was one of the top vaccine scientists in the whole entire United States of Merca. And because he was that, he had been the director of something called the Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority, a federal agency. He has taken his leave of that position. Which is a little bit surprising in that somebody in that position probably, well, we could use their expertise in trying to develop a vaccine, if indeed a vaccine can be developed. Because the funny thing about coronaviruses is they're really hard to build a vaccine around, but nobody's gonna mention that during the shit show in any of these given evenings. By the way, Sparky, is there a shit show going on? I don't know. Nobody'd much heard of Dr. Rick Bright. He was working in the background. But But the New York Times recently discovered that he did not leave that position of his own accord, under his own steam. He did not jump. He was, in fact, pushed. Because, among other things, he was banging the drum and banging pots and pans and banging whatever he could reach to make a noise. When the push began to give out hydroxychloroquine like fucking M&Ms. He said, I'm speaking out because to combat this deadly virus, science, not politics or cronyism, has to lead the way. So now, much in the same way that Dr. Wen Liang in China, who first reported the Rona, was silenced and suppressed. He later died of it. But he was silenced and suppressed by the Chinese government. So too, Dr. Bright is being sent down into some room in a basement with a bare light bulb hanging by a naked electrical cord from the ceiling, where he's going to oversee public-private partnership aimed at vaccine development with the National Institutes of Health. Because thou shalt not question the dear leader. Earlier today, Nitwit Nero took to the Twitter to say that he was going to that there was going to be a clarifying statement from Dr. Redfield, the head of the CDC, who you'll recall from yesterday's program, said that when it comes back around in the winter, it could be worse than what we're dealing with now. He said that and was quoted verbatim by the Washington Post, and CNN then reported on what the Washington Post reported, and so Nitwit Nero declared,
CNN did fake newsy stuff, it's fake news, and the CDC will have an updated statement.
It's the equivalent of redrawing the hurricane track with a fucking Sharpie. Was it Steve Schmidt, Rick Wilson? I can't remember which one of those never Trump Republicans it was that said, everything Trump touches dies. And it has become true in the literal sense. Maria in Puerto Rico. This. The economy. Jeremy lets us know in Vermont, Republican governor, remember, we are slowly allowing people back as well, even though our numbers are still going up. 811 Monday to 823 yesterday with 40 deaths. Operations of two people max were allowed. Construction and mostly groundskeepers out and about. I don't know what the response of my state is going to be. I recently saw a quote from Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice, in which he said, "Now you gotta listen to me. In no way, shape, form, or fashion are we gonna reopen on anybody's timeline but our own. We won't be pressured into nothing." Which means that the minute that his phone rings and the voice on the other end of the line says, Froggy. Make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice will say, well, how high? In no way, shape, form, or fashion will I not leap as high as I possibly can, and that ain't very high. But, sir, you just say the word, and we will torch West Virginia to the fucking ground on your order. Make no mistake, we're making West Virginia great. Yeah. Thank you. Horn Ad Hoc Research Department operative Lee in New York says that was Rick Wilson. Everything Trump touches dies. It's the name of the book that he wrote. Thank you, Lee. Subject line, Cold Civil War. Steve in New York says a friend of mine mentioned that there's been a Cold Civil War going on for decades. Maybe somewhere along the way I can be footnoted or something in an article as having coined that phrase. Seems to have gotten around somehow. Miraculous, that. Out in Oklahoma, Stan, personal care businesses, hair salons, tattoo parlors, massage joints, nail salons, will open this Friday. Restaurants will open May the 1st. As a friend of mine puts it, folks can have a good meal and leave a pretty corpse. Tip well. Way too much truth in that. They're going to do it hell or high water. And it's going to create a very, very stressful situation. But then again, it's already stressful. Mike in Cascadia mentioned Jay Inslee, one of the governors who's getting it right. Well, guess what? Anybody want to give me a quick geography lesson? Because I really can't do the whole clicking and clacking and searching thing. Where is Snohomish County, Washington? Because they've got another one of them constitutional sheriffs. It's in the Constitution. You can't shut down tattoo parlors. It's in the Constitution. No, really, they do. He's one of these people that wants people to fucking die. Disgusting. Snohomish County Sheriff Adam Fortney says that he will not enforce stay-at-home orders issued by the chief executive of the state of Washington, Governor Jay Inslee. Thank you, Jimmy. I will tell Agnes happy birthday for you. She'll be tickled. Jimmy noting, Johnny Reb's being led by a damn Yankee. Well, but he's Florida man now, so maybe he can get an honorary Confederate flag. Had some notes come in from Kyle saying, so this whole thing is worse than we even know, even taking into account that it's way worse than we know. Super. Answer to that question, yes, they knew about it in November. This was intentional. I don't want to call it genocide, but holy fuck. And that's the Chinese part of the equation here. I mean, it's something that's interesting and probably valuable to take into consideration. China, in its recent history, and even in its ancient history, some of the earliest royal burials in China, and it didn't just happen there, it happened other places too. Middle East, Fertile Crescent. But we know from excavations in China that early royal burials included the bodies of concubines, body servants, butlers, tailors, soldiers, guards, maybe tattoo artists, massage therapists, beauticians. When the emperor died, his court died with him. They were poisoned or killed outright, and their bodies can be seen in the burials. That's ancient history. Modern history, on the other hand, includes Chairman Mao and the Cultural Revolution and the Great Leap Forward, where people were either deliberately or allowed to starve to death, worked to death, or just outright killed. Now, when you take into account the population problems that China has, and they do, they tried to institute a kind of draconian policy. It was called the one-child policy. And every family was allowed to only have one child. And if it had actually worked, you could have conceivably halved the population in a couple of generations. Because the simple math of population dynamics says that if you've got a couple and they have children, one child replaces the one parent, the other child replaces the other parent, and if you have a third kid, then you're increasing the population. So if you work it in reverse, but no. Because why? And there's even a documentary out about, oh, it was so brutal. Probably was. It's communist China. Dictatorial China. Relentless, remorseless, Confucian-based China, in which everything is subsumed to the greater good of the state. You know, Confucius was a dick. He was a real person. I mean, there's historic documentation of him. And he sat there and hectored every leader and told them that they were doing it all wrong. Until finally somebody gave him a shot and said, well, come here, Confucius. Why don't you run it for a while? Oh, no, that would not be proper. Asshole. But anyway, the same people who make lives miserable for so many people here in the United States, you know, the ones who worry about the precious little fetuses, well, they were hopping up and down and screaming about the China one-child policy, because I guess to them, planet Earth can just accommodate as many human beings as we want to put on it. And all the while, China couldn't feed itself. And so they got all worked up about the one-child policy. And it had some ugly, nasty aspects to it. But they never offered anything in the way of a solution. If they were Christians. If the Christians had opposition to the Chinese one-child policy, what was their solution? How are they going to deal with a vastly overpopulated the largest nation by population and one of the largest nations, period, on Earth. What was the plan? Well, there wasn't one. It was just a piss and moan about the precious little fetuses. Because, see, that was part of it. Them Chinamen is making the women get an abortion if they gets pregnant a second time. Oh, Jesus, save the fetus. Yeah. Yeah, as Lee points out, there was a chance of faster population decrease. There was a favoritism for boys. Boys look after the parents. Daughters go to the boy's family. And yet somehow it never dawned on these Christians that it takes two to tango, and yet they're the ones who preach the loudest that only boys and girls can tango. Fucking fools. Thank you, Clarence. Bob, that Jim Justice impression also sounds like my law enforcement hero, the one and only Barney Fife. You're the best, Bob. I love your impressions. They're right on point. Thank you, Clarence. Thank you very kindly. Snohomish County, according to our dear friend Jude, is about an hour north of Seattle. It was our first positive coronavirus and the first in the country. Well, it was, until we found out about what happened in Santa Clara. Well, okay. It's the border county. It borders far Canada, north of King County, Washington. Brother Deacon Asa said, genocidal traits in ancient China, you say? Ever hear of a little feller named Genghis Khan? Little feller. So, back to Snohomish County, where the sheriff there is Adam Fortney, and he thinks he knows something about the Constitution, but apparently he wouldn't know the Constitution if it walked up to him all rolled up in parchment with legs and arms and a head, like that lonely Bill from Government Rock, and introduced itself to him personally.
I want to start by saying this virus is very real, and sadly it has taken 97 lives in Snohomish County. If pot shops are essential, then why aren't gun shops essential? He asked. This contradiction is not okay, and in my opinion is bordering on unethical.
Well, Sheriff Fortney doesn't know much about ethics, apparently. The reason the pot shops are open is because medical cannabis is medicine. I have yet, well, I don't know. I guess you could argue that a bullet's fucking medicine, too. You know, it only takes one and all your problems are over!
All I need is my freedom seed.
Yeah, Jesus. That was a little cameo by Ferg. Billable Rick has awarded a cowbell to Brother Deacon Asa for a little feller named Genghis Khan. But no, I'm getting really tired of these fucking sheriffs who probably couldn't pass con law if all they had to do was draw the pirate from the back of a matchbook and mail it in. And there's the magic phrase again. We talked about it last night. Governor Inslee is picking winners and losers. Somebody's writing these fucking talking points. I have not carried out any enforcement for the current stay-at-home order. As your Snohomish County Sheriff, yes, I believe that preventing business owners to operate their businesses and provide for their families intrudes on our right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. There it is! There it is! It's in the Constitution. Only the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness isn't in the fucking Constitution. It's in the Declaration of Independence, and the Declaration of Independence is not, never has been, and cannot even be argued to be a part of the body of the law of the United States of America, period. We have the right to peacefully assemble. We have the right to keep an arm bear arms. We have the right to attend church service of any denomination. How about mosques and synagogues there, bub? The impacts of COVID-19 no longer warrant the suspension of our constitutional rights. No constitutional rights have been suspended. Let's be abundantly clear about that. This guy is one of these little dangerous neo-maxi Zoom dweeby sovereign citizen constitutional sheriff assholes who relies upon the provisions of a constitution that exists only in the thin gray settlings that slosh around between his ears and pass for goddamn brains. Other sheriffs and I will not be enforcing an order preventing religious freedoms or constitutional rights. This is not the time to blindly follow. This is a time to lead the way. Well, you know what? Governor Inslee needs to send a nice, friendly group of National Guardsmen and let Sheriff Fortney lead the way to the nearest Gray Bar Hotel. Because while I am not particularly aware of the criminal code of the state of Washington, I'll bet you there's a criminal provision in there for anyone, including a constitutional sheriff, who deliberately and intentionally endangers the lives of other people. Jesus, these assholes. A little more data, a little more background on Snohomish County. Mike in Cascadia says it's essentially suburbia north of Seattle. Hillary beat Trump in Snohomish County 54-36%. Boeing's largest factory is in Snohomish County, Everett, to be precise. The eastern parts of the county include places like Darrington, Granite Falls, and Salton. These towns are riven with poverty and meth. With the demise of logging, these towns have wilted on the vine. So the county's very diverse, with professionals from Boeing, Microsoft, etc., to the disenfranchised rural people on the fringes. Though the overall politics are democratic, there are pockets of virulent Trump land. Well, I think we found one of the people in that pocket, Mike. This makes me crazy because it is not a good faith argument. This makes me crazy because it is utterly devoid of anything even vaguely resembling an understanding of how the Constitution works at all. Because under this dickhead's interpretation, blackout curtains during the Second World War, which I promise you were in great abundance somewhere like Snohomish County, Washington. You know, the Puget Sound was home to a great big hunk of the Pacific Fleet from time to time. Bremerton comes to mind. That's not in Snohomish County, I don't know. I'm sure it's not. But as far as the remote hollers of Appalachia, people were required to hang heavy black curtains on their windows and to keep those windows covered by night lest a German or Japanese bomber could navigate by the lights coming from people's windows. But under Sheriff Dickhead's interpretation of the Constitution, that violates our right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I'm not happy unless my windows are open and my lights are glowing out into the night. I'm sick of these people. I don't want to rip off Malloy, but if I told you lately how much I hate these people. This is madness. This is a guy who wants, and this is Washington State, which has already bled and burned and died enough, more than enough, way too damn much. And among, in many cases, its most fragile, and I would argue, reverend population, its elders. Has anybody had Snohomish County Sheriff Adam Fortney on to explain to him that he wouldn't know the Constitution of the United States from his ass if he could reach for either one with both goddamned hands? I just watched the governor's speech to Washingtonians regarding our approach to getting Washington back in business, and I am left to wonder if he even has a plan. To be quite honest, I wasn't even sure what he was trying to say half the time. Yeah, well, that's because you have the IQ of Sphagnum Peat Moss there, Sheriff Fortney. He has no details. It simply is not good enough at times when we have taken such drastic measures as the suspension of constitutional rights, which never happened. Oh, my aching, bleeding Jesus. I wrote most of this about 2 weeks ago, but I decided to wait out of respect for the governor and my own misguided hope that each day he did a press conference, he would say something with some specificity on getting Washington back to work. After what I witnessed tonight, I can no longer stay silent, as I'm not even sure he knows what he's doing or knows what struggles Washingtonians face right now. This stupid fucker is a maggot. There's no way he's not. I'm worried about the economy, and I'm worried about Washingtonians that need to make a living for their family. As more data floods in week by week and day by day about this pandemic, I think it is clear that the models have not been entirely accurate. Huh. Isn't it curious? He's saying the exact same goddamn thing that I played in a clip from Judge Jeanine on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda just last night. Dear God. As elected leaders, I think we should be questioning the governor when it makes sense to do so. Are pot shops really essential, or did he allow them to stay in business because of the government taxes received from them? Again, it's medicine, and it can help people deal with the anxieties of
of these stressful times. It has social value. That seems like a reasonable question. If pot shops are essential, then why aren't gun shops essential? I don't know, Deputy Dog. Can you eat a bullet? I mean, probably not the right way to ask that. Jesus. As I arrive to work at the courthouse, I see landscapers show up each day to install new landscape and maintain our flower beds. How has Governor Inslee deemed this essential work? Well, let's see. How about they do it out in the open? How about they do it with social distancing? How about it's not a high contact activity? Oh, this guy goes on and on. And you know, the way he structures his sentences, you figure out pretty damn quick who he is. If this coronavirus is so lethal and we have shut down our roaring economy to save lives, then it should be all or nothing. The government should not be picking winners or losers when it comes to being able to make an income for your family. Listen, stupid. If your income is derived from a job that requires you to be in close and constant contact with the general public, and in which if you have the virus, you could spread it to six people in one transaction. Well, that doesn't take just a hell of a lot of brain power to sort out. So what this fucker is actually doing is fomenting insurrection against the duly and legally elected governor of the state of Washington. In violation of the oath that he himself took to uphold the Constitution. The great thing about Snohomish County government is we've all worked very well together during this crisis. I'm not saying we agree all of the time. I'm saying we have the talent and the ability to get this done for Snohomish County. This is not a time to blindly follow. This is a time to lead the way. And he wants to be the guy who leads the way. Somebody's thinking he'd like to be the nominee for something on the MAGOT ticket. Maybe he's auditioning for a gig with Fox News TV Radio Rwanda or Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground. Maybe he wants to be the next Sheriff David Clarkey, now that fool has been utterly discredited. And there's an idiot, and the idiot is from Alabama, of course, but apparently a native of Washington. This is no longer about a virus. It's about time more leaders like you stand up and fight for our freedoms and constitutional rights. Somebody tell me what constitutional right these fools have lost. Nobody's seized their guns. They just can't go out and buy, you know, one a day more for the next few weeks. Why not guns? Trying to curry favor with the gun humpers, the three percenters, the oath keepers, the Nazis, the skinheads, the white supremacists, which, by God, do most assuredly exist in places like Washington and Oregon. the encyclopedic Dave Nywert has made that abundantly clear. Thanks for standing up against the political left agenda.
Wow. Not getting killed by a virus is now politically left.
The man should be removed from office and prevented from ever holding office again, because he has proven himself incapable of honoring his oath. And the oath is not subject to interpretation. The oath is written with specificity. That's a good question. Albert from Rhode Island says, Bob, I wonder how that sheriff would react if several of his deputies caught COVID-19. God's will. I mean, if everybody's overreacting to it, are his deputies wearing masks or gloves? Hell, you know what? I'll bet his deputies wear nitrile gloves even when there's not a pandemic. Take them off, boys and ladies. James in Illinois, he's worried about pot shops. Meanwhile, he's got a quart in his bottom desk drawer. Damn straight. Old Overholt. Our buddy Tom in sunny San Rafael. Subject line, masks. I'm a day behind listening to Monday's podcast. You said you don't have a mask. I'll be sending you three, one for each of you. They should be there in a few days. Well, thank you. Thank you, Tom. I've been sewing them for family and for the city to distribute to our homeless population. Dadgum, that's inspiring. I know. Tom is darn good with a sewing machine. Good-looking mask, too, Tom. Thank you. Thank you. Clarence in South Carolina, Stan, subject line, the COVID test. Bob, I have a friend who tested positive last Monday. She did not have any of the symptoms. She was sent home to quarantine. She was retested this week, and the result was negative. I'm perplexed with this scenario. She didn't receive any medication. All she did was isolate. The young lady, 24 years old, works at the Lee State Prison. I think we also have a problem with medical personnel performing the test task. Oh, well, you know, prison workers are definitely essential personnel. And as could be predicted without any crystal balls whatsoever, they're also the places where this disease runs rampant. See Cook County, Illinois. See Marion County, Ohio. See Rikers Island, New York. Jeremy in Vermont says, this is the dangerous stuff people are saying. It will be interesting to see what people do if they find out that the majority of Americans have the virus but are asymptomatic. A lot of new studies and data show that 85% or more could be positive. Americans will have to make a tough decision at that point. Either way, I believe we'll be stronger on the other end. That's America. Well, if it turns out that we've got a north of 70% infection rate, which, by the way, was predicted in the modeling for states that did nothing, I think then we get to ask the question, why? How? Who dropped the damn ball? And the answer to who dropped the damn ball is Stephen Miller, Jared,
Princess Iwanka Madaddy Trump Kushner, Mike Pompeo, he graduated first in his class at West Point. God, that just didn't get old. Mike Pencilneck Geek, Mike Esper, Betsy DeVos, and of course, the Corona King himself, Donald J. Trump. The J stands for Jesus Christ, what a dumbass. But when we find out, and at the rate this is going, we're going to find out pretty quickly that it was here, that it got here through sheer, unmitigated, gross, willful, wanton negligence. What do we do about it? With your last breath, will you get to the goddamn polls or vote however you can vote on November 3rd and vote for Joe Biden so we can get rid of this fuckwit? Will you? Well, I'm not telling you to. I'm just asking if you will. If we find out that, yeah, they knew, they were warned, the first thing they did was take care of him and those around him, but they didn't warn the Democrats. The Democratic leadership wasn't let in on it. And then they let it burn through the nation like a roaring prairie fire. Will that be enough to get us to the Howard Beale moment? I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore! I'm not talking about the other side. I'm talking about our side. To act with determination. Did I see something earlier today? The number of COVID infections from going out and voting in Wisconsin is now at 19 or above. Yeah. If anyone passes away from that, stack their bodies outside the Supreme Court of the United States. Or maybe deliver one body each, or however many they are, to the offices of old Balls and Strikes John Roberts. And Clarence Pubes on the Coke can Slappy Thomas. And Sammy Shoot the Black Kid in the Back at 30 yards as he's running away unarmed Alito. And Ann's boy, Neil. And of course, Brat Kavanaugh, who likes beer. And getting all his debts paid by anonymous friends. Leave them there to deal with. Because that Supreme Court decision, are you aware of this? The Supreme Court decision that forced people to go out and get the COVID-19 virus in order to exercise their constitutional right to vote was what's called per curiam, which means by the court. It's an unsigned opinion. Five members of the Supreme Court of the United States were absolutely convinced that people should have to risk their lives instead of being able to vote by mail or by absentee ballot in Wisconsin. They were absolutely, utterly convinced of it, but not one of those five had the common courage to put their fucking signature on the opinion. It was written anonymously, just like Bush v. Gore was written anonymously. Wasn't RBG. Wasn't Sonia Sotomayor. Wasn't Elena Kagan. Oh, no. It was a 5-4 decision, and RBG led 4 in dissent. They put their names on it. They signed their names so big that Donald J. Trump could read it without his spectacles. So that leaves the 5 right-wing POSs who didn't have the guts to put their name to what may very well prove to be a godforsaken death warrant. Evil bastards. Well, just another friendly reminder that the Supreme Court fucks up as often or more often than it gets anything right. At the shit show today, David in South Carolina, Stan, taking one for the team. Trump just said that the virus absolutely cannot return in the fall. I've signed an executive order. It'll be banned. It's going to be deported. I added that part, but that's how stupid he is. I mean, come on. Oh, no let up. Jeremy in Vermont. Bob, stop telling us you're not asking us to do something you said you weren't telling us to do. Jeremy says, sorry, had to. Well, I know, Jeremy, it's hard to avoid when it's in you and it's in the situation. Let's run over to the stress line and see what's going on. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, happy Wednesday. It's me, Reggie, from Decatur, Georgia.
Hey, Reggie, how are you, my friend?
Just fine. It's a beautiful day here, too, Bob. And I just wish that the mainstream news media, better known as MSNBC, would stop running his ass every day. But I know they won't because they can't. Only afraid of it. Only afraid to.
Well, those are decisions. Hold on, Reggie.
Oh.
Those are decisions that come down from corporate.
Oh.
It's not the choice of, you know, whatever newscaster happens to be at the anchor desk at that point in time.
Oh, yeah, but they play him every day, and he lies every day. And people watch him every day. Well, not everyone watches him every day because they can't stand him. Like you said, they keep playing his shit show each and every single day. You know, and nothing else much, you know. But at least CNN and the local network, they cut in and out when they have to, or they play when they necessarily have to, you know. They cut in and out.
Yeah.
But at least CNN is involved. But MSNBC, and definitely, obviously, and apparently Fox would play them 24/7 if and only if they could. What say you about that, Bob?
They are who they are. It's like Dennis Green said, they are who we thought they were.
Right.
Anybody who would bet that a dog will not return to its vomit is throwing his money away.
Right.
And that's what Fox is doing. They're no different, no better, no worse than a dog returning to its vomit.
Right. So is white wing radio, as you prefer it or call it. You know, like their leader, Fresh Limbaugh. You know, fat ass. You know.
Ah, yes, that would be presidential medal of freedom recipient, Flush Flimball, the oxymoron.
I thought you were supposed to do something to earn that. Just like fighting a war, you have to earn your medal. You know, like in war, you know, you have to earn them. And this medal of freedom is no different, is it, Bob?
Well, it's discretionary.
Yeah, I mean, you have to earn that, just like you have to earn all your medals in war if you fought any. You know? And like you said, I'm surprised that Rachel Maddow herself didn't get reprimanded for what she said about them showing it every day, showing his shit show every
day. Even Scarborough did.
Oh, he did? He said it?
Yeah, Scarborough said, didn't get reprimanded. Scarborough said, you know, why the hell are we running this?
Like you said, I thought it was the decision from the top, the corporatists.
Well, it is,
you know.
And neither Rachel Maddow nor Joe Scarborough has any power over Andy Lack.
Oh, well, they should go talk to him. But I don't know if that'll do any good for them or not. Do you think so, Bob? They should go up there and try to talk to him.
Yeah, no, they like no, the, no, because the checks keep clearing. See, that's how that works.
Yeah, but like you said, I'm sure they're sick and tired of covering him every day. Joe and Rachel, and what about Mika? You know, what about her? Has she said anything about this? You know, his wife, Mika Brzezinski.
Yeah, she's been throwing a fit too.
What did she say? What exactly did she say? The same thing that her husband and Rachel said, or is it something different?
No, it's just a shit show.
Right.
I mean, the clips are all out there. I don't see any real value in running those.
Right. Yeah, but even CNN and the local news cut in and out. They show them when they have to, but they cut in and out and go with the other news, you know. Because other news, whether we know it and like it or not, has to be reported, regardless, you know.
Well, it's not what you like. The news is not what you like and what you don't like, Reggie. The news is, as they say, the first draft of history.
It is? And then that was changed to, as it bleeds, if it bleeds, it leaves, right?
No, not really.
But
that's just how it, that's just how it works.
Right. The first draft in history. The news is the news, right? You know, the news is the news. Like you said, the first draft in history. And then it became infotainment. Well, Bob, if you were one of these corporatists running a news network, how would you feel about this? If you were one of those corporatists running a news network.
Oh, if I was a corporatist, I reckon I'd do what corporatists do.
run it the way they're doing it now. But, you know, but thank God you're not a corporatist. You're a realist. You, Leslie Marshall, Stephanie Miller, Nicole Sandler, and yes, Mike Malloy, and even Tara Devlin, just to name some. And Randy Rhoads, too. You guys are non-corporatists.
Man, you gotta check out Rick Smith.
Yeah, Rick Smith, too.
If you've never listened to Rick, man.
No, Rick Smith, like you said. I haven't heard him before.
Yeah, you gotta check him out.
Like you guys jumped the corporate ship a long time ago. All of you guys.
Well, I don't know that I was ever on it. Closest I ever got was getting a paycheck signed by Ted Turner.
Yeah, but like you avoided that corporate ship.
But it wasn't a very big check, Reggie.
Right. Well, you avoided that ship a long time ago, and you said, fuck it. Like you said, I'm as mad as hell, I'm not going to take this bullshit anymore. You said, fuck it, and you struck out on your own just like Nicole and the rest of them did. Because you got tired of being lied to and telling people lies, but from the corporate side of the game. And I'm sure that Joe, Mika, and Rachel are getting sick and tired of doing the exact same thing, too. They just haven't yet jumped that corporate ship yet. Or had the guts to. Yet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
And you got those people. You got one of the people on The View, Magpie, who's pregnant, by the way, defending him. Trump, that is. She's defending him. Why don't she just come out and say it, that she's a full-fledged, full-blown, out-and-outright Trump supporter? It would be so much easier. Because I guess she don't want to get attacked, even though she doesn't get attacked enough each and every single day, you know, by the host, especially Joy, you know, and Whoopi. I mean, why can't she just come out and say it? That she's a, you know, Trump supporter. Like, what, is she afraid to get attacked? She afraid of being attacked? You know, although she's not going to buckle under, you know. You know how these women are, young women, or these young conservatives. You know they're not going to buckle, right?
No. They're in for the long game.
Yeah, they're in for that, like you said, that steady cash flow, that steady flowing paycheck that are coming down the pike. You know, I wish that you guys were getting paid more. I'm talking about the independent sort of radio talk show host. Can you guys tell the truth, the only truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God, Jesus, in heaven? My corporate talk radio is nothing but a bunch of conservative right-wing liars, you know. We'll practically destroy talk radio, and it's all but extinct. Am I wrong for saying that, Bob? No, Mark, you're crazy for saying that.
Well, it's just, it's in an evolving state.
Yeah, it's an evolving state. What? Going positive or negative, Bob? Up or down? I mean, left or right? Go ahead, Bob.
Well, the what goes out over cable and over the air TV and radio, progressives, yeah, liberals, whatever, are never going that barn's burnt. We're gonna live out here on the internet where we've taken up residence.
Well, you better hope that they don't try to dominate that either. Why are they already trying to dominate the internet?
They're
going to try to take that over too, Bob. We can't let that happen. If we can help it.
Well, you know, I'll be here as long as people want me to be here and support the program. That's all I can. And, you know, God willing, and the Rona don't rise. That's the best I can say. I'll keep doing it.
Right.
And
I wish they would. Go ahead, Bob.
No, that's okay. That's okay. It's just we're in a very, very hard time, and it's very difficult for people to support the program. I understand that. So I'm just trying to make sure we keep going.
And I wish they could just yank him off the podium. The president, I mean.
Let's not talk about anybody chasing him down with a big old butterfly net or anything. That might irritate the people with the skinny black ties who talk to the things in their wrists. Reggie, you have yourself a good evening. I imagine it's a mite warmer there than it is here. Been cold and windy all day, but we got a little bit of blue skies. But you take care of yourself, and we'll talk soon. You hear?
All right, we may have a cloudy, stormy day tomorrow. I don't know.
Yeah, we're looking at rain coming too. Dr. Fauci just came on, so I'm gonna pot him up. You take care, Reggie.
You do too, Bob. Listen carefully to what this man has to say.
All right, we'll do.
Dr. Fauci, I mean.
All right, bye now. Our buddy Reggie, I apologize for the for that low frequency hum there. That's coming from the Stressline Gizmo box. Don't know why. Maybe come the weekend I'll be able to tear everything down and find out what the hell that was. Earlier, and thanks to David in South Carolina for letting me know, Corona Caligula deliberately humiliated the head of the CDC, who knows more about infectious disease than Nitwit Nero will ever hope to even imagine, and said that there's not going to be a second wave. Jake Tapper tweeted, the important thing about what Redfield said is not whether there will be a second wave, of course other waves are possible, but that the combination of coronavirus with seasonal influenza this winter could overwhelm the healthcare system. That's what matters. And Trump just threw all that shit under the bus. Let's check in with Dr. Fauci, see what he's got to say.
We have to proceed in a very careful, measured way. And if you look at the guidelines, they are careful and they are measured. There are certain checkpoints before you can even think about going into a phase one. And then things relax a little as you go into phase two, and relax a little and you go into phase three. Now, we live in a big country and it's heterogeneous, and there are different dynamics of outbreaks in different parts of the country. So the speed with which one can go from one to another, at the point at which you can even begin to think about the phase, is going to differ. So the one thing that I know, the urge we all have to get out there and get it over with, let's get back to normal, for a lot of good reasons, because there's a lot of suffering, economic and otherwise, in this country because of that. But again, as I've pleaded early on weeks ago, I plead with the American public, with the governors, with the mayors, for the people with responsibility. although I know one has the need to leapfrog over things, don't do that. Do it in a measured way. This is a successful formula. The problem is, if we don't do that, there is a likelihood that we'll have a rebound. And the one way not to reopen the economy is to have a rebound that we can't take care of. So please, again, let me just close by pleading with the American public in general and those who are responsible leaders to carefully consider how we get back to normal. Thank you.
Can you talk a little bit about your expectations for the fall? We heard from Dr. Redfield and Dr. Birx. What do you see for the fall? Is it going to be embers or possibly no return of the virus at all?
You know, as I've said before here, when you look at an outbreak, it's two dynamic forces opposing each other. If you leave the virus to its own devices, it will take off if you do nothing to stop it. If you put into place the kinds of things that we talk about, first containment, and then hopefully you never get to mitigation, but containment is important. Those two forces are going to determine whether you're going to have a big outbreak. So what Dr. Redfield was saying, first of all, is that we will have coronavirus in the fall. I am convinced of that because of the degree of transmissibility that it has, the global nature. What happens with that will depend on how we're able to contain it when it occurs. And what we're saying is that in the fall, we will be much, much better prepared to do the kind of containment compared to what happened to us this winter. Now, the complicating issue is that unlike the syndromic and influenza-like observances that we have, that you could pick it up by clinically what's happening, it's going to get complicated by an influenza season. And I believe that's what Dr. Redfield was saying, that is going to be complicated. So whether or not it's going to be big or small is going to depend on our response. And that's what I think people sometimes have misunderstanding. Nobody can predict what is going to happen with an outbreak, but you can predict how you're going to respond to it. And that's really very important.
So you would caution against people thinking that in the fall there's not going to be coronavirus anymore and we won't have to worry about it?
No.
Or
no.
If it is, it'll be spotty and it won't be a big problem we have to worry about?
There will be coronavirus in the fall. If we do, which we won't, but let's take an imaginary period. We say, okay, coronavirus, forget about it. We're not going to do anything about it. It will take off. That's what viruses do. But that's not what's going to happen. We are going to respond to it to not allow it to do that.
They're going
to
fuck it up.
Dr. Fauci, what happens
fuck it
when
up?
Governors like Governor Kemp are not following this careful, measured plan and moving forward even without meeting the gating criteria?
Well,
what do you do about that?
Well, you know, if I were advising the governor, I would tell him that he should be careful, and I would advise him not to just turn the switch on and go. Because there is a danger of a rebound. And I know there's the desire to move ahead quickly. That's a natural human nature desire. But going ahead and leapfrogging into phases where you should not be, I would advise him as a health official and as a physician not to do that.
Okay. Try it, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Can you please give some details about the executive order? I know that the White House has just released a document. I haven't had a chance to review it.
Well, we can talk about that later. It's an executive order on immigration. We want Americans to have the jobs. We want Americans to have the health care. We want to take care of our citizens first. We have to. It's a very powerful order. It's for 60 days. At the end of 60 days, or maybe even during 60 days, I'll extend it or not. And maybe change it. I might modify it.
And, of course, they've already said there will be no passport renewals.
Immigrants who are already here in the country or immigrants abroad who already effectively have a green card trying to get into the country and help their workers.
We're talking about immigrants that are trying to get in, and we're talking about people and also, by the way, people that are coming in illegally. Now, as you know, because you've seen the numbers, our southern border is very, very tight. It hasn't been this tight in years.
It's being helped by 160 more than that miles of wall that are going up. I'm trying to get to 450 by the end of the year, 450 miles. And we'll have 530 miles early next year. And that's really great. It's fully funded. We have all the funds. And the Army Corps of Engineers is doing a fantastic job. Same people that did Javits Center, as you know. They're doing a fantastic job. So our southern border is very, very tight for good reason, for very good reason. We're also being helped by 27,000 very good soldiers from Mexico. And I want to thank the president of Mexico. He's been terrific in many ways, including on what we're doing with COVID. And as you know, we have a very good trade arrangement with Mexico now.
Here's one little thing. Illegal slash undocumented immigration is way down. Those 27,000 Mexican soldiers are probably deployed saying, what are you, crazy? Those people up there are diseased.
...of getting a vaccine out to Americans once it's ready. He says he has been pushed out of his job because he raised questions about hydroxychloroquine and some of your directives on that. Was he pushed out of that job?
I never heard of him. You just mentioned a name. I never heard of him.
I've never heard of him.
Did this happen?
This happened today.
Well, I never heard of him. If the guy says he was pushed out of a job, maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. You'd have to hear the other side. I don't know who he is.
And on the hydroxychloroquine...
Hold on 1 second.
I just wanted to, you said by 4th of July, you expect people will be on the National Mall and we'll be having a celebration like
Hope
we did
so.
Last year. Given what the doctors are just saying that, you know, coronavirus is still going to be out there, it might not be as bad as it is now, but it's still going to be circulating. Is that going to be safe to have that many people on the mall?
We're going to probably have 25% of what we had last year. Last year, as you know, was maxed out. I saw a magnificent picture of Dr. Martin Luther King. And I saw a magnificent picture of our event last year, and both of them were maxed out. It was beautiful to see. Beautiful. Very similar. This year, most likely, we'll be standing 6 feet apart. We'll have to do that in a very, very interesting way. And maybe we'll even do it greater. So we'll leave a little extra distance. But if we do that, we'd certainly do that. I don't see... Maybe the purpose, if we can't do that, we have to have people, thousands. We had tens of thousands. Most of you were there. Tens of thousands of people. This year was incredible. And it was, to an extent, an air show of all the different aircraft flying over. We even had Air Force One flying over. So ideally, it would be wonderful if we could actually have it as it was.
Jesus Christ, he's 3 years old. He was tickled pink to see the big airplanes.
As an example, sports is going to be the way they used to be. I mean, I told one of the owners, he said, do you think I should take out seats? I said, no, you shouldn't take out seats. We're going to have it the way it was. We're going to be back. This virus will eventually be gone. And if it should show up in the fall, we're going to put it out very fast. We have great people. We're going to put it out very fast because we've learned a lot. We've learned a lot about how to deal.
If it shows up in the fall, Dr. Fauci just said, it's going to be back in the fall. There's no if. Fuckwit says, if it comes back, we'll put it out. What's he going to do, pee on it?
Governors agree that that exists, but it's very different from testing implementation. And they are still begging for you to use your full authority to help them get reagents and other things. As you would like to say, what do you have to lose by helping them do that and becoming the king of testing?
And let me just say, we are the king of testing already. There's no country in the world that's done more. Not even
0.2% of the population has been tested. Is that good enough?
I just said there's no country in the world that's done more. And we have tests that have already come out that are going to be introduced very shortly that will do it more. My problem is this. It's very much of a media trap. Whether we did 2%, 5%, 50%, or 100%, it'll never be enough, no matter what.
2%.
Now, with the expertise and with what we did, because of our expertise and tremendous talent at manufacturing, what we did with the ventilators, that wasn't a trap because we got them done, shockingly to everybody, because of the incredible talent like Mike Pence saw yesterday in Wisconsin. But we have numerous of those sites all over the country doing the same thing. So that when the governors were complaining, some of the governors, I must say, and it was very much along party lines for the most part, but except for one, when the governors were complaining, we said, no, how many do you need? We need 50. We need 100. One governor asked for many, many, many thousands, and it turned out they didn't need that, and that's good. We got them, and nobody that needed a ventilator,
need them,
you know this.
You know, people just
and
fucking
we went
died.
Through this with the governors that needed a ventilator, didn't get a ventilator. That was an incredible achievement. With testing, it's a little different. It's much easier than ventilators. It's
no,
like
testing's easier.
2%. But, for instance, the swabs are coming in by the millions. They're coming in, literally coming in by the millions. Totally ordered. We wanted the highest quality. We could have gotten a much lesser quality. We didn't want to do that. We got the highest quality. But testing, it's like no matter how well you do, you can always say more. With the ventilators, they either have them or they don't. In fact, we went to one meeting. Who wants a ventilator? One governor said, we'd like 25. 25. You got them. Who else? Nobody spoke up. That was 4 weeks ago. So that was great. The problem with the testing is, and I said, if we test 350 million people, you'll say, no, we want them to have a second test or a third test or a fourth test. Not everybody believes as strongly as some people in testing. Some people want to do testing because they think it's impossible for us to fulfill that goal. That's easy compared to ventilators, as I've said. But we have a tremendous testing capability, better than anybody in the world right now. And every day it's growing, and it's growing very substantially. And these doctors are very talented people. They've seen testing all their lives. They've never seen anything like we've been able to do. So we're going to give everybody what they want with the testing. But again, testing, and I've said it from the beginning, the actual test has to be administered locally. You can't do from Washington or faraway locations federal testing nearly as well as you can where you have a governor, he has mayors, and they have representatives, and they know the back of a Walmart. Put it in the parking lot in the back of a Walmart, or put it in a certain location in different states. They're doing it beautifully. It's working beautifully. The relationship I have with the governors, and Mike has, and we all have with the governors, I would say other than one or two, but even them, they don't complain. They're not complaining. So we're doing tremendous testing. And ultimately, we're doing more testing, I think, than probably any of the governors even want. Okay, please. Jennifer.
Back on the immigration EO, can you say, is it just for green cards, for green card holders?
Or green cards, we're
is it also for subject, people seeking temporary work visas?
It's subject to change. We have some people coming in, for instance, helping the farmers. We want to have the farmers take care. They've been coming for years and years, and they're helping our farmers, and they've been coming in for years. We don't want to do, you know, the border's been turned off a number of times over the years. And you know what happened? Our farmers all went out of business. They were out of business. They
what?
Couldn't farm. We're taking care of our farmers. Nobody ever took care of farmers like I take care of farmers. Including the $19 billion that we're dispersing to farmers because of some very good things that happened.
Subject to change because some of your advisors are saying there could be a problem with it, or subject to change?
No, just it might be modified. It could be modified next week, in 2 weeks. It could be modified in 2 months. No, we may modify it as we go.
Oh, wait a minute. Cowbell for Lee in New York. Trump is against testing because he could not pass his tests. Angelo writing from the People's Republic of the Bronx says, these jokers don't realize something. Viruses can wipe out entire species, including us. Brings to mind something you said that ends with, and they will worship us like gods. Yeah, that's that 10 million years from now, 6-foot-tall race of sentient cockroaches. Jesus. This is really getting to Kyle. Kyle says, hey, look at me, I'm the president. Did you know that? Christ, make it stop. Ouch. Yeah. What the fuck is he saying, says Kyle. Good. Your guess is as good as mine. Also shouting, shut up, you damn liar! Sorry, but this is better than throwing my phone, Kyle says. Yeah, their phones are fucking expensive. Ugh. Dave in South Carolina stand wondering, how long before he fires Fauci? Oh, he's getting animated.
I love these people. And barbershops. These are great people. But you know what? Maybe you wait a little bit longer till you get into a phase two. So do I agree with him? No. but I respect him, and I will let him make his decision. Would I do that? No. I'd keep him a little longer. I want to protect people's lives.
I will let him make his decision.
But I'm going to let him make his decision.
See, that's the thing. He doesn't have the power to not let him make his decision. But by continuing to use that kind of language, I will let him make his decision, he projects the idea that he does have unlimited cosmic power, and assholes go along with it. Oh, look, here's a dickhead from Fox News Radio.
So far, the industry says that they're struggling as it relates to testing. Can you commit to increasing testing at the nursing facilities
across
the country?
Yeah, we're doing that automatically. I mean, that's almost common sense, but...
Almost common sense.
I mean, you look at the state of Washington. That was our first glimpse of it. They got hit so horribly in that nursing home. It seemed like everybody was from a particular nursing home. So we knew immediately that was going to be a problem, and we're doing that 100%. We're taking very special care of our nursing homes and our seniors, other than me. Other than me. Nobody wants to take care of me. But other than me, we're taking care of our
seniors. Oh, my God.
Another
yeah,
area. Please.
Yeah, there's the tell. He's had something. Somebody's jammed a needle full of something into his fat ass. Everybody's taking care of the seniors. Nobody's taking care of me. Yeah, you devious dipshit. Oh, and here's America's closeted vice president.
People get it, that the risk of serious illness for a healthy American of the coronavirus is fairly low. You'll either have flu-like symptoms or no symptoms at all. But as we've said so many times at this podium, and the American people get it, a healthy American could inadvertently convey the coronavirus to a senior with an underlying health condition and have the kind of heartbreaking results that we've seen in nursing homes around the country. It's the reason why from early on, the president took decisive action to raise the infectious disease standards
That's
at every nursing
funny
home
as he
in
graduated
America.
First in his class
he deployed
at West
all
Point.
8,000 of our inspectors, Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, to dedicate all of their time to ensuring compliance with those new higher standards. We've spoken about nursing home issues with governors around the country, and frankly, there are governors around the country that have done remarkable work with nursing homes. You mentioned Governor Brian Kemp. He actually used the National Guard in Georgia. He deployed them to nursing homes to do cleaning and to disinfect areas of those nursing homes, and it's a tremendous service. But to your point about testing, if you look carefully at the guidelines, or Open Up America again, you will see that in phase one, the level of testing that we contemplate is first that we want to be able to test anyone who has the symptoms that may be coronavirus and be able to test them quickly. Secondly, we want to do the kind of contact tracing, and Dr. Redfield and his team are deploying CDC teams in every state in America to be able to find out everyone that that person has been in contact with and test them. But if you look right underneath that, what we're directing states to do is be prepared to deploy testing resources first and foremost to nursing homes and long-term care facilities so that we can monitor any potential outbreak of the coronavirus among the most vulnerable population. Thanks to the leadership of our Surgeon General, as the President announced today, we're also going to be deploying testing resources to vulnerable communities, to underserved communities. The CDC released new preliminary data on the impact, particularly on African-American communities in this country, and it's the reason why part of our phase one recommendation is that we deploy testing resources into those communities that are described by the doctors as socially vulnerable. Even as we speak, we'll announce next week that we're already in the process of deploying testing. And so it's a good opportunity to remind every American to be especially careful around our seniors, to heed the guidance about avoiding visitations, to protect the health of those who are most vulnerable. But the American people can be assured that from phase one forward, all the way through phase three and reopening, we're going to be helping to...
You know, he says you're mostly at risk if you're old or sick. That grieving family in Michigan, is going to be really surprised to find out that their five-year-old little girl was elderly.
They need to buy new diagnostic machines to be able to double their testing capacity. Your administration has said that they're...
Well, I'm going to mute it for the time being until such time as maybe I see Fauci come back or Dr. Birx or somebody. Ralph's pointing out Pencil Neck is trying to talk to a child. Maybe Donnie? Well, that's how you have to talk to Donnie, like you'd talk to a three-year-old, because that's pretty much his emotional age. Arrested Development and all of that. Ah, and there is a reporter in the room now who's wearing a mask. Wonder how that makes shit for brains feel.
And newspapers can check on that information, so if that could be done.
Do you want to do that? Do you want to say something?
Thank you for talking about testing and testing capacity, because we have been talking about that for several weeks, because we could see and we did a full inventory of every single state and every single laboratory. And I also appreciate you talking about the implementation piece of the testing capacity. And it's complicated. So we have a team calling every lab and working through the American Society of Microbiology, as I mentioned before, to really work with every lab director to see what the issues are in each laboratory. And I just want to thank Administrator Verma, who really worked on increasing the funding for this test and uniquely doubling the funding for the coronavirus nucleic acid test. From $50 to $100 to really address some of the issues about laboratory technicians, because sometimes we think these tests run themselves. They don't. They actually need people to help with the machines. So we were talking about purchasing more machines. We actually need to have additional laboratory technicians to really be able to work all of those machines. And so it's lab by lab, state by state, and that's the dialogue that's going on now to unlock the full potential of the United States. Maybe the testing would not be needed at this moment, and maybe it is, but we want it also totally available in the fall
if it
comes to an issue where we have to distinguish between flu and COVID-19. So we're building infrastructure and capacity not only for today, but for tomorrow, and really showing a new way to really deal with pandemics and bring testing to scale, because the country has never had to do this before. I mean, if you look at some of the other countries, they're struggling with some of the issues from PPE to testing. And so this is a universal issue, but we're working on it as a collective to really have a very innovative and integrated way to approach testing.
But without building new, they have tremendous capability.
And the maps are, I will ask the companies, because obviously it's proprietary where every single machine is. And, you know, if you have that machine and five others, maybe you don't want to know. Let that person know you have five others. It's kind of like Coke and Pepsi. So I think we're working very deliberately to really be able to share those maps.
You know, a pandemic is not a time for worrying about the Coke and Pepsi aspect of all of this. David in South Carolina, Stan, noting her knee pads match her scarf. He can't, her being a woman and everything, he cannot resist trying to overtalk her. Jesus.
Because they want to test people without any symptoms at all in high-risk environments like a nursing home. Do you agree with this? Vice President Pence, do you agree
with
this?
Well, not only do we agree with it, it was in our guidelines. That was fundamental to our guidelines, and I think we were the first group.
The funny thing is, if you're a Ron Monkey-Up DeKlantis, the illegitimate racist white supremacist adjacent governor of Florida, you don't give a good damn about their guidelines, because he and Kemp and McGubna in South Carolina have done their reopening shtick regardless of that stage one gateway, level one gateway. They can't meet those criteria. They're just flinging the doors open and hoping the bodies don't pile up. But they can hope in one hand and shit in the other and see which one fills up first. And I guarantee you, it's not the hope hand. As to Mike Pencilneck Geek, Jeremy points out, again, all of this from a vice president who had an unusually high breakout of AIDS while he was governor and did nothing for months. Trust him? Fuck no, says Jeremy.
We think it's fundamental, both for right now and going through the fall, because that will be our early alert if any of the COVID virus reappears.
How much more testing are we doing?
You didn't know that was on the guidelines?
The CDC.
Well, it's currently in the CDC guidelines.
No, you're saying it's right in the guidelines.
Yeah. Dr. Burke, while you're there, can I
Jerome,
just...
would you like to say something to that, please?
Thank you, Mr. President. And I just want to reiterate to everyone that the task force and the administration have a commitment to protecting vulnerable people. And that includes in the area of testing. We've had the opportunity to talk to many different groups, and we hear that testing is absolutely a concern. And we'll be giving you more details in the coming days, but I just want you to know that we're building on the public-private partnership that the president rolled out with pharmacy and retail companies like CVS, Walgreens, Rite Aid, Walmart, and Kroger.
I'm just asking a question. Is it me, or does the Surgeon General sound a little like Mike Tyson?
Tested, underserved, and minority communities, and we're working closely with partners and states to establish sites in areas...
Yep, sounds like Mike Tyson. Lady B says, did you ever wonder why the compassionate spend so much time worrying about the welfare of others? The ones who simply don't give a fuck? What if they're sociopaths or misanthropes? The people who are completely oblivious to the harm their actions may cause because it interferes with their own interests. To let them die is not a compassionate person's nature. Besides, the harm they bring to themselves always seems to involve the innocent. A great leader is patient. A great leader realizes that despite some inconveniences and discomfort, sometimes enforcing certain mandates is for the greater good. They also understand that some people may have to be sacrificed. I don't know what to do. I never wanted to be a leader in the sense that it would involve telling people what to do. I'm a helper. I've hurt some feelings sometimes, but I like to help. Besides, it's more fun to watch a stranger turn into a friend than it is to make another enemy. That's a wonderful statement, Lady B. So what is for the greater good, and who is qualified to make that decision? Trump is incompetent, but really, what type of person is qualified to keep hurting some people, the unemployed, in order to take care of others? In order to ultimately take care of all of us? To think that someone would even have to stop to consider such a thing is deeply disturbing and esoteric. Some folks will do the right thing out of compassion, and some will toss humans by the wayside to get what they want. Why are humans so attracted to people who don't want to do the right thing? Why do we worship sociopaths? Is that their plan to lure us in and watch us suffer? Soft bodies and hard bullets. And that's not a suggestion or a solution. But it does point out that at the end of the day, we're all human. We all have human needs, and we depend on others to fulfill those needs. People who will keep us safe. All lives are sacred. All lives are sacred. I'm tired of being worried. I'm so sick and tired of being worried. Why should I be worried, Bob? I've got a routine. I've got what I need. Why should I be worried? You are worried for yourself, Lady B. You are worried for the people you care about and love. You're worried about people that you will never know. You grieve for people you will never know. And you do so because to do so is essentially and fundamentally human. That's why we are pack animals. We are troop animals. Because we cannot survive on our own. The idea, so beloved to the right wing, that we're all just lone wolf individuals pulling ourselves up by our own bootstraps and paddling our own barbed wire canoes right up shit creek with no help whatsoever. Well, that's a myth. That is the way by which we as a species will find our demise. Uh-oh, Dr. Fauci stepped up and Nitwit Nero's jumping over onto him.
The animal gave him some food, touched him or whatever, and that's how we got it.
Thank you. And President Trump, my question for you.
Yeah, never mind your question for shit per brains. Brother Deacon Asa asking, anyone recall that string of lab technicians in Massachusetts who were bullied or otherwise bribed by the DA to make sure certain tests yielded certain results? Who's to say that these lab technicians aren't told from on high that these COVID-19 tests have to come back negative? Well, that's a little Alex Jonesy, but the Alex Jones. But then again, Brother Deacon, it is not without precedent. It's not just Massachusetts. We had a head of the state police lab here in West Virginia some years back named Fred Zane. And Fred Zane was busted and convicted. And Fred Zane would find you what you needed, whether your evidence was actually there or not. A lot of people wound up getting out of prison on that. Steve in North Carolina says, why don't one of these dumbasses ask how many test kits we have instead of capacity? We can have all the capacity in the world, but it's worthless without kits. And that right there is, in fact, the bottom line. I think that they get briefed. You know, they're all reporters, but they've all got editors. And the editors tell them what they want to know. Because the editors have an idea of the way they want to shape the narrative. Here comes Dr. Redfield, who's recently out from under the bus.
When we came out with the CDC guidance about face masks, or what we called face coverings, was in recognition of the growing understanding of asymptomatic infection or presymptomatic infection, was the recognition that we could use a barrier. And the reason, you know, and I have mine when I'm in public that right here that I use, you know, that this barrier, in case I was in fact infected, if I didn't know, is a barrier to prevent me to protect you in case I'm and happen to be asymptomatically infected. There's very good data to show that the ability of viral particles to go through a barrier is substantially diminished. And that's why we recommended these face coverings. I think if you go back to when CDC came out with that recommendation, some people may think intuitively it's to protect them from getting infected. No, it was to protect you from potentially getting infected by me when I go out in public. Jerome, do you?
I actually appreciate you asking that question because it's one that that we've had to clarify several times, and I understand why the American public has been confused over time. As Dr. Redfield mentioned, initially we said based on CDC, World Health Organization, and most other major public health organizations that the public needed to know that these masks were not effective or shown to be effective in preventing you, if you wear a mask, from catching coronavirus. Another important thing to remember is the context of those statements was a run on medical masks, on N95 masks, and our healthcare workers were at risk. What's changed? What's changed is we found out that unlike past viruses that are spread through the respiratory route, a significant proportion of coronavirus cases can be traced back to asymptomatic spread. So the task force deliberated this. We've always told you that we will look at the facts and we will give people recommendations based on the best available evidence at the time. And once we saw that asymptomatic spread, we said, well, masks still aren't effective, and from our point of view, at preventing you from catching coronavirus in a significant way. But we've always told people that they should wear masks if they know they have symptoms to prevent them from spreading to other people. Well,
it would be nice if he could put it in plain language. Look, if I'm wearing a mask, it's because I care about you. If you're not wearing a mask, it's because you don't give a fuck about anybody else. But you. Let's run over to the stress line for a minute. Hey, welcome to the program. Yo, hello.
Dude, it's Sandra.
Hey, Sandra, what's up?
I thought I'd check in just, you know, to see how we're all survived the dystopia.
Well, I've been, obviously, I'm here for 3 hours every afternoon. I mean, there's been some change to my routine, but not a whole lot. I mean, because I live in a remote and rural area in the first place. I'm more worried about folks like you that aren't rural and remote. How are you holding up?
Well, I mean, you know, honestly, you know, California is definitely trying its best, and, you know, we have, you know, a little bit confident. You know, Newsom is quite surprising, because he had the balls to shut down the fifth largest economy in the world. You know, he went ahead and did that, and I think he saved untold thousands, because I think the virus has been in California probably since December that they're admitting now. So there's a lot of people infected here, and they've managed to keep, at least the hospitals are busy, but they're not Italian style yet.
Yeah, they're not, you know? They're not swamped.
But it's, you know, it's a bit precarious. The problem is the, I don't know. It seems like some sort of low-grade insurgency from the Fed, because they keep intercepting supplies. And, I mean, I don't really know. Federalism, you know, is great. If California can control its borders up next. Because these states like Texas and Georgia, them motherfuckers are going to start traveling, and then what? You know, if we spend all this time throwing our economy under the bus to try to save lives, and then we have to allow them motherfuckers in, no. Now, don't get me wrong. I think the people in Georgia and Texas with critical thinking, they must be scared witless, because I would be.
Oh, there was an op-ed piece in the Washington Post today by a professor from Florida State University, Sandra, you know, full professor, English department, and she wrote, "We love our beaches in Florida, and now thanks to Ron DeSantis, we can die for them."
Yeah, he is a loathsome and a stupid.
Yeah, but wait, he's that special kind of stupid, Sandra. He's stupid with a Harvard degree. He's Jared Kushner stupid. He's privileged stupid. These Harvard people who keep winding up in positions of power, who don't have enough brains to pour piss out of a boot with directions on the heel, are going to be the goddamned end of us. I mean, he's going to be the end of a hell of a lot of Floridians, that's for sure. Oh. Sandra, hold on. This gizmo does piss me off from time to time. It would be nice if the Bluetooth would stay connected, but, well, what do I want from an ancient piece of equipment? That hum's no fun either.
Can you not hear me?
All right, we're going to try this a different way. Let's see if anybody can hear you, Sandra.
Hello?
Yeah, there you are.
Oh, okay. The biggest problem, you know, for me is the notion that you're going to tell half the working population of the country to stay at home, but don't provide any material support. And then when they go out, because they need to eat, you see what I'm saying? I don't understand what's going on, except they're preparing to just sort of, if you get sick, too bad, stay home and die, but keep working. I'm trying to figure out.
Well, no, as far as I'm concerned, it's a failure. It's not a failure. It is Republican politics writ large. This would be the making people stay home and then not doing anything for them is that's what the position would be if it was Willard Romney or John McCain or George W. Bush or George H. W. Bush. You know, we can't, and it goes all the way back to Herbert Hoover. You know, during the Great Depression, the Congress sent him a bill to send relief to farmers. He vetoed it. Then they sent a bill to provide food for horses, and he signed it.
No, but Pelosi stopped direct payments that was being discussed when they had a caucus meeting with her caucus. So the Democrats are a bit, I'm fish-eyeing them right now. I'm like, what the hell, Pelosi? So, you know, I'm also looking at them because they seem to think that, you know, and McConnell said, no, get rid of all your pensions, go bankrupt state. That's what McConnell said.
Yeah, that was today. Go bankrupt. I'd rather see states go bankrupt.
What are you talking about? We want you to destroy the pensions, so we're going to undermine working people yet again while we can. So it's disaster capitalism. We don't have an opposition party because Canada, you just have to fill out a short form, and they had $2,000 a month in people's account for 3, 4, 5, 6 months. That's it. That's all you got to do.
Yeah, it's not exactly rocket science.
Well, no, what I'm saying, though, is that they have mechanisms to deliver. All we have are mechanisms to deliver to the top. Everything is greased to go to the top. The Fed's $2 billion, $4 billion, a trillion a day to the market. They don't even have enough sense. I mean, when I was in college, I had a Treasury Direct account, which is where you can buy bonds. I had one because I had to do it for a class. But that account, anyone can get one. Any American can get a direct Treasury account, which can easily be flipped to receive money. They need to stop lying. It's disgusting. There's systems in place here where they could give people direct payments. I am flabbergasted by the bullshit, but it's really scary because, you know, people are going to die.
It's terrifying.
And it's like, you know, bond, you can do it through bond purchasing. They could do it through the post office. They could do anyone who has an EBT, they can put some money on that bullshit. Stop, stop, stop. And that's my problem right now because people are dying. Those long lines, when you go to food bank, you ain't doing that first thing in the morning. You're doing that because you're desperate. That's the last step. You understand? I just am, like, horrified. I really am. Anyway.
Well, no, I understand it all, and I'd love to see Democrats just dig their heels in and say, "Fuck it," you know. We got to have these direct payments. We got to do it Canada style. But and this is not a defense, but an acknowledgement of reality, Sandra. As long as Mitch McConnell continues to breathe out and then breathe in again, nothing decent for the American people is ever going to happen.
Well, no, but it's not decent. It's direct harm now, though.
Yeah, no.
We're not even talking about, it's like culpable indifference meets harm, meets Ayn Randian, I don't know.
And there you go.
The idea that he's okay with the states, too bad for you, when the states are the direct, they provide what little service we have, police, whatever other services you have. But he's happy to tell the states, too bad for you, get them all working to get your own tax base up. We don't have nothing for you.
Well, and the other part of that in some of the states, and not California, but Georgia, Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, you know, the Confederacy, they will bust their ass to keep people from accessing what little service that they offer. I mean,
Didn't they charge $70 million, but they completely destroyed the UI system in Florida to the point where
yes,
people can't even access it now.
Yeah, it was so bad that even DeClantis said Rick Scott fucked him with the system that was in place. But the thing is, the whole reason for sending the it's the last people in the world you would want to send back to work, massage therapists, tattoo artists, nail salons. The reason you do that is because they're terrified of paying unemployment.
But it's just crazy because once again, the virus don't give a fuck. This is, you know, at
right.
the end of the day, the virus don't care. And I feel bad for your state because I mean I'm not a fan of that governor, but she's still hanging on. But she borders those states, so how is that going to work?
Wait, which governor?
In Alabama, I forget her name.
Oh, Kay Ivey. No, there's nothing to feel sorry for there. She's as bad as the rest of them.
Well, I thought she wasn't reopening though.
Well, she signed on the pact with the other Confederate states, so she will be elbowed into that.
All right. Well, no. Well, then you know my next question is constitutionally, what happens to you know interstate travel because. I know California blocked the borders a minute, so it ain't unheard of.
No, and Florida...
They had guards keeping them Okies out back in the day.
Yeah, and Florida did it for a minute just a couple of weeks ago. You know,
but it's... I don't even mean to make light of it, because I feel for people, because... You know, like Milwaukee, now they're having a little explosion of, oh, I voted, so now I die. That's coming online.
Yeah. And, you know? And I mean, we felt it here in West Virginia, Sandra, because, you know, we were touted as being the last state without a case. And so the next thing you know, all our mom and pop campgrounds fill up with people from Ohio, Pennsylvania, etc.
Oh, spreading.
Yeah. And it's and we already had it anyway. We just didn't have any way to test for it.
No, that's the whole thing, the whole testing thing. But I mean, what's happening in Governor Blackface state? Are they still protesting there?
Yes, I mean the they're still trying to pressure him. But
no, no, I don't get me wrong. I just say that cuz I can't help it.
No, I know. No, they're still trying to pressure him. They're screaming that he's coming for their fucking guns. You know, the usual horse shit.
No, but you know, they're like signs saying that the lockdown is, you know, slavery. I'm like, really?
Oh well, yeah. No, I mean they're reaching for all the usual stuff. I've seen the lockdown.
Yeah, but I had to tweet that scene from the Django. You know, say bye, Miss Laura. Kind of white women.
That, and then there was the white woman today, who was hollering that the Ohio public health director. That by continuing to recommend that Ohio stay shut down, that she was just like a German sending people off to the gas chambers.
Well, no,
the director of public health, by the way, is Jewish.
No, my favorite is that nurse that had that sign at the counter protest that said, I see you. I was rolling. I'm like, exactly. And no, you know, and no ventilator, please sign here. You know what I mean?
Oh, I love the, and I love the, no medical treatment for coronavirus, the statements that are being passed around to these assholes who show up, you know, cause, you know,
yeah, no, it's just, and I'm still trying to figure out, why do you need a Confederate, what does a Confederate flag have to do with a lockdown order? Oh, wait, you know what I'm saying?
Yep. Oh, I do.
Why are there always those flags? You know, it's like, you know, the same old thing. It's just amazing.
Why was the idiot walking around the Michigan Capitol with a poster that with Gretchen Whitmer's name on it and a swastika?
No. But the thing is always, it's not, they don't want to go to work. They want to profit off of other people's
cars, right,
who might get ill.
Yeah, it's like the lieutenant governor of Texas yesterday, Sandra.
Oh, no. You know what? The problem with him, though, is that he's a lieutenant governor of Texas. Someone who makes that statement, they need to be snatched. What the actual fuck?
Yeah, they file a mental hygiene and have a hearing.
Even Texans love their grandma, grandpas, and other family members. So I'm not too sure how that's playing with most of us sane people. That whole line where you need to die because I got to keep extracting rents from your labor argument.
Well, see, that's the other part of it. These protests are relatively small, and the polling data doesn't support their position. I mean, Jesus Christ, 72% of Republicans want to continue the shutdown.
Well, no, but that's because death. I don't even know why we need to highlight this. That's what's so sick about the situation. It's like we got piles of bodies that are like being buried on islands and in nursing homes who all have family members who are freaking out. All of a sudden, Trump who? What the fuck?
Well, I mean, I hope it's Trump who, you know, you and I are of a certain generation, Sandra, and we came of age with a movie that involved a guy pulling a wagon through a muddy street yelling, "Bring out your dead." And I don't know about you, but I never saw that happen. I mean, but here we are.
No, it's just, you know, I mean, the whole death aspect of it is just so horrifying because, I mean, are we going to hit 50,000 at the weekend? I mean, it's just, I can't, the numbers are doing me in because it's, there's so
well, high. The numbers are crazy.
Well, no, the FT has doubled the number for the UK. So instead of 20... the Financial Times, you know, their statisticians are saying it's 40. And I'm assuming here it's a lot more than the 45,000.
Well, it has to be. I mean, if you can, and this was what I started the program with, out of Santa Clara, California, they're finding out after an autopsy that there's at least two more dead than what we thought, because they both tested positive post-mortem for the coronavirus. And the one person died on February 6th.
Yeah, no, they also, in Wuhan, they, you know, post whatever, they've been, you know, releasing data that points to all sorts of people in hospital with pneumonia were all COVID months ago. October time, you know what I mean? So, no, but it's just, the idea that we can't, you know, they're not, we can't, but they're, you know, they're stopping the testing too is outrageous. So they want you to go back to work, no testing, no protection, and do what?
Pray?
Go to the gym? I used to go to the gym all the time. I'd be caught dead going to the gym. You know how much water, moisture, all of it, it's a complete vector. And no one in their right mind would go to gyms.
Yeah, it's a stew.
I'm just like, what? But they're opening them back up in Georgia, though.
Yeah, and tattoo parlors, you know, blood, sweat.
And the masseuse, and then that crazy bitch in Nevada, what on earth?
Oh, the mayor of Las Vegas?
Yeah, she wants to open everything up, and whatever hotel gets more infections, she'll close them or something. I don't even understand what's going on.
They can't see past their wallets, Sandra. I mean, well, no, again, it's.
Ain't nobody gonna come to Las Vegas though. This is the thing. You know, maybe you get a couple of hundred, Trump supporters. I mean, I don't know, but most. Same people are like, no. Even if they open it up, that's what I'm saying. I really don't think they're gonna have some sort of.
Who's gonna go out? You could open everything up in West Virginia tomorrow. I'm staying home, to the extent humanly possible.
I'm freaked out when I have to go to the store because. Inevitably, I have to turn around and say, back the fuck off of me, because people are so stupid. And they always look at me crazy, but I'm like, yeah, I'm that one. I'm that nigga. I'm crazy. Stay away.
I had to go to the store today. I drove by Kroger's, and there was a line out the door, 20 people long. And I kept driving.
Were they six or ten apart, or just right up on each other?
No. They were six apart, but there was one mask in the entire 20. So that's 19 people who didn't give a fuck about anybody else.
No, you got to have something over your face too, because anyway. So I know that. I wish there was something else to talk about, like baseball. Oh wait.
Well, hey, this is the lowest carbon Earth Day we've ever had. How's that?
No, and my goats in that Welsh town. I'm all over the animals coming forth and just chilling. Those are my go-tos.
Oh yeah, and the the reindeer in the yard.
And the cows on the Spanish beach. Are you kidding me?
My favorite is Skippy the bush kangaroo just hopping down the middle of the street in Australia.
Oh yeah, no, that's fun. I know what you're talking about. That was making me laugh, especially since so many of their fellow critters were wiped out this year. So it was good to see, But I don't even know what to say. I can't even believe what's gone down, and I just think it's just going to be horrific because. The 20, 30, 40 million people who are unemployed. So what's going on there?
The only hope there is that this is an artificially stopped economy and it can be restarted. This is not the Great Depression.
No, but it can't be if we have an imbecile who won't use the government to get a robust testing, tracing, where you hire people to do the tracing protocol. I mean... There is a way to manage this, but he's going to drive us into another depression.
You know I'm not a member of the Joe Biden fan club, but...
We have to do what we have to do.
We have to do what we have to do, and as ugly as it may be to say, we're not going to get any help from the gang of foot pads and cut purses and highwaymen and thugs and hustlers and grifters. So we got to. Here's the bottom timeline, as far as I can sort it out. None of this gets any better until January the 20th, 2021, and that is a brutal damn thing to say.
No, that's horrible though. But the level of misery, suffering, and death between now and then is just unimaginable, though, Bob.
It is.
I know that we. We've always had I've always had a fairly jaundiced view, but a concerned view, if you get what I'm saying.
I do.
And I just am so upset at the thought of the untold, I don't know, thousands of people who are going to be, like, wiped out between now and then. if that's what our options are.
Well, I mean,
I'm not saying that the U.S. obviously the U.S. will. I mean, because this country's been through whatever. But I do think that this is a pretty massive inflection point. But we need to come out of this. The Bezos of the world, they need to become millionaires or dead. The billionaire stuff, that has to end. That we can't. Amazon needs to be nationalized because it's acting like a utility now.
Yeah.
And this man made $25 billion in 2 weeks. We can't. We can't.
We can't carry him anymore.
It's just.
You know, Old Yeller needs to go to a farm upstate.
But but the other upside is the fall and the revelation of, and his shit is coming apart, and that's lovely to watch. So we might be able to take out at least that billionaire.
Well, I'm still trying to remember. It's terrifying, Sandra, but I'm trying to maintain some hope. Because the kind of structural change we will have to have structural change, not just in the presidency, but in the Senate as well.
Well, no, we also we got to have some sort of reasonable safety net. You ain't going to call nobody essential and pay them $7 an hour. Give me a fucking break.
No.
I'm over it. It's like if they're essential, they got value. Value. Anyway. I mean, I can go on with that. That whole aspect of it is so gross. The idea that these poor people who just are working in a supermarket are now, their lives are on the line all the time. I can't with it. I find the whole thing just revolting.
Obscene.
And sad and disturbs me to no end. It really does. Because I go into the supermarket, I'm watching these workers spraying and, trying to, wipe and shit. It just looks terrifying. 8 hours of that.
Well, you've got applause for your idea of Amazon needs to be a utility. Darlene in Connecticut loved that. And there's organizing stuff involved here too. Folks might need a union. I know that sounds crazy, but.
Forget her name, but she's a fairly effective union organizer. The head.
Well,
of the,
look what Whole Paycheck did. Whole Foods never miss an opportunity to miss an opportunity. This thing broke, shit hit the fan, and the next thing you know, Whole Foods is out there engaged in a full bore union busting campaign.
About heat maps, where they can sort of take all the different indices around the store to evaluate which store would be susceptible to unionism. I mean, they're horrible. It's horrible. I'm just like, oh my God, general strike much, something. Because working people are being annihilated. This is a really, I don't know.
Well, it's kind of too technical for a crisis as deep and broad as this. But somewhere along the way, when we get a chance to get our breath, we need to get rid of Taft-Hartley, like yesterday.
But we need to get rid of the rules that make private equity a reality. Those are the sort of horrors that need to go. I mean, they control hospital groups. They control, food systems. Anything that's really going on that's awful, if you scratch the surface, it's private equity. And you're just like, Warren had a plan years ago about private equity. And here we are, you know.
Yep.
I mean, we could have had Warren, but, sexism and patriarchy. So, enjoy. Is all I
got to
say.
Oh, yeah. I watched the war on Warren every morning with that gang on MSNBC, and it was just breathtaking.
Yeah, but it's just disturbing, says, all the countries with women heading it now, they have bent their curve and more. The 34-year-old in Finland, I think she got like 12 cases. 34.
Yeah.
Female. And that girl in New Zealand.
In New Zealand, yeah.
Ain't nothing happening there. They bent that shit. And Merkel's explaining it like a boss. I'm like, damn. And I forget, she's a physicist. Sorry. I mean, I'm just, you know, all these women. Iceland, they ain't got shit going on but some nice hot tubs.
Yeah, and then they tested every single human being on the island.
That's what I'm saying. But I just mean, and all things in common there is, you know, women.
Yeah.
On that level. Now, I think Sweden might be, I think the head of Sweden might be a woman. I forget, but that place is, you know, they fucked up.
Yeah, well, you know. Yeah, we're going to get us some herd immunity, you betcha. No.
Oh, my God. But, no, it's just, yeah, it's so uneven and so weird. And I don't even know what happened in Italy, though. That was an amazing what went down there. Fuck, or is going down.
There, Spain. And, of course, yeah. Hey, here, how's this for a country run by men? Iran.
Yeah, but a lot of them motherfuckers got off themselves. Didn't it wipe out a lot of the leadership? I don't mean to laugh, but I'm like...
No, there's some mullahs got ronad. But Iran, 85,996 cases and 5,391 dead, including mullahs.
That's a lie, because I saw the mass graves they was digging. But, no, all of it is just... It is really horrible, and the sort of stuff that's going on in East Africa with the locusts on top of the COVID, I don't even know. Don't know.
With something like this somewhere along the way, would you not expect locusts? I'm waiting for the frogs or the rivers of blood.
No, the locusts isn't going on all year, though.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they're pink and not edible in case people think, oh, why don't they eat them? So.
No.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, no. That business in the New Testament about locusts and wild honey really never appealed to me.
Stop. No. it's just, all of it is just unbelievable. And we still have this blithering idiot, Trump.
I just want to know why he hasn't got it.
That's what I'm saying. What's the hold up? When Boris had it, I was like, oh.
If you go back and check out the podcast, the big thing is what happened at Walter Reed on November the 19th, 2019.
Well, exactly. What was going on there? No, I'm still wondering. Cause, why would that?
They fired his ass. They fired his ass up with something, Sandra. I'm convinced of it. All of those people who, epidemiologists, virologists, they know how dangerous this shit is. They know the importance of social distancing. And they're all standing up there every night in a clusterfuck.
I know.
They've been treated.
I'm like, you can't help but drift to that, that something's going on, extra. Yeah.
I mean, do you know how icky it makes me feel to move on to Alex Jones's fucking corner?
I know, it's hard. You don't want to go there because that is their purview. But you can't help but think, wait, bitch, why you ain't 6 feet apart? Just looking at it. You're like, what's going on there? So, yeah, I agree with you. It's all quite terrifying, though. And now he's threatening to shoot boats out of the... I don't understand. Are boats flying? Did I miss that memo?
Yeah, the boats have been... Jesus Christ.
Because he said he would shoot Iranian boats out the...
Shoot down Iranian boats.
If they do what? Was there something that went on, or is this just him...
They've been doing what they do. They buzz around ships and stuff, But it's also about trying to boost oil prices.
Mm.
He's
I know.
The May contract is hopeless. He's working on June.
wrapping up. But, oh, no, I got to go. But one quick thing. You know what? I don't know how beneficial it is for people to keep seeing these relaxing celebs in their luxurious abodes. You know what I'm saying? Every time I, or even on the news channel when they're interviewing people, everybody got some nice digs.
Yeah, they do. I've been nerding out. I've been nerding out trying to read the titles of the books behind him, going, I know you never read that fucking book.
No, I mean, but I'm just saying, but all these people are hella comfortable. Although I do appreciate Patrick Stewart's daily sonnet. You know, I'm a weirdo, so there are.
Oh, I didn't even know that was a thing. I got to find it.
Every day he's on 34. I'm like, what the fuck? So yeah, just put in Patrick Stewart on Twitter, and that shit comes up, and it's hilarious.
Oh, I'm gonna be on that like a priest on sin.
And I'm just saying, because he does one. I'm just like, what in the world? But it's very entertaining.
Well, Sandra, don't be a stranger. I mean, if you're not doing anything, holler in, because I've been my email blew up when they heard your voice, and next time I'll try to have we'll try to have a better connection.
Okay, yeah, no, it's all good. I'll probably check in more since it's, you know, sort of lockdown hell.
Yeah, anyway, got a little time. Later, Sandra. Bye.
All right, bye.
The one and only. That's Sandra. And time to get out of here. A little bit of overtime this evening. Thank you, Flavio. The Prime Minister of Sweden is Stefan Löfven. That's a guy. Well, that explains things now, doesn't it? Thanks to all of you who keep the program going. With your subscriptions, your a la carte contributions. Thank you so much. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you to Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 years plus at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. Happy Earth Day, y'all. Happy 50th Earth Day, y'all. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.